This week, we have a special mini episode that we're going to be calling Therapy Thursday. So Shad and myself will be going over one thing this week that caused us anxiety, and we will explain our thought process and how we tackled this. The other person will act as a support buddy and ask questions to get us to dig deeper into why we felt anxious, and will help us work through the anxiety. We hope that this will help people at home practice introspection and understand how to manage life's daily anxieties. So kicking it off, Shad, what made you anxious this week, or what was your anxious thought?
No, there were a couple this week, Matt. I think the one that really sticks out is I was at two of our friends. One of my friends proposed to another one of my friends. So we had a little get together to celebrate it, and it was a little bit of a surprise, right, for the guy to propose to the girl. And for some reason, over the past couple of years, anytime I go to surprises or big events that are happening for someone else, like weddings or anything of that sort, sort of right when it's going to happen, I start feeling very anxious because I don't want to ruin their special moment. Right? So I start feeling like, you know, I might start breathing heavy or like maybe start imagining that I'm feeling faint. I'm not actually feeling faint. I feel completely fine. Or, you know, my heart will start beating faster. And part of it, I think, is just excitement, right? Because it's about to happen or I'm happy or whatever. But then the other part, which I've been able to more or less control, at least more recently, is just, you know, I want to make sure that I don't do anything to take away from their special moment.
Have you had somebody ruin your special moment before, or have you ruined a special moment before? Is this rooted in something that previously happened?
No, I mean, there's nothing that actually sticks out. I think a lot of it comes from sort of the very first time I had a anxiety attack or like a panic attack, which was at my friend's wedding that we talked about previously, where, you know, I was sitting in the church and the ceremony was going on, and I felt faint. And I mean, to be fair, it was hot and everything, but like at the moment, I didn't feel good at the ceremony and I felt very faint. And I thought I was going to pass out. So then sort of after that, it's always anytime I feel like maybe a rush of emotions or just anything, I feel like that I might pass out again. And then it just makes me get anxious. So I'll get up and leave, or I'll go somewhere. So what happened that day back then was I just got up and left the ceremony and went outside. And what's happened sort of at other times after that is I've usually, again, just taken a step outside, try to get some fresh air, sort of remove myself from the situation. So even if I do faint, you know, it won't ruin it.
Of course, it's off to the side where nobody can see.
Yeah, yeah.
So in this situation, what did you do to mitigate it?
You know, I was actually very happy with myself this time. I felt it coming on, right? Like right before, and it's always like, it's always the waiting part. When you know, especially if it's a surprise and you're like sitting there waiting, and it's like, you know, they're 5 minutes out, they're 4 minutes out, they're 3 minutes, they're outside the door, they're walking up. And it's that one moment, like right before they're walking up, where like my heart will start racing. And again, a lot of it is just excitement because I want it to happen and I want them to be surprised and all that. But yeah, this time, I mean, I think I handled it pretty well. I took a couple of deep breaths. You know, I assured myself that I've had food, I've had water, you know, I'm not feeling sick. There's no reason why I would faint or anything would happen. And I just sort of did all this mentally. And then I did my best to focus on what I was doing at the moment. You know, I had my own task for the surprise. So I did my best to just focus on what I was doing, which was fixing the video cameras to make sure that I captured, you know, their moment walking in. And I think that helped a lot because it took my mind off it. And also I assured myself that I've taken all the steps I need to make sure that, you know, nothing will happen.
Yeah, it's a little more high risk because you have a task. But at the same time, you can also use that task and focus in to not have to think about the rest of the world, right? Just, okay, check the video settings, check this, check. Give yourself a list, like you said, and then, you know, hopefully that'll help you calm down because you're not focusing on everything else going on. You're not focusing internally in your body. You're just focusing on the external thing of getting this camera to work.
Right. Yeah. Interestingly enough, when I have something to do, I don't feel as anxious. Like at any time, and it doesn't matter what it is. But if I have a task to do, I'm always focused on the task, and it just it removes all anxiety for me. This is with anything that I ever have to do. If I ever feel anxious, it's because, like you said, I'm focusing on that one thing, and I'm not really thinking about sort of the anxiety piece of it.
Right. You can do what you can control, which is to work on the next item in the task list. Right.
Exactly.
And then just do that, and then not focus on how you feel. And then by not focusing on it, you'll actually feel better.
Yep. How about you, Matt? What was one thing that caused you anxiety this week?
Oh, man. So this week, fun stuff. I got to preface this real quickly. So about 2.5 years ago, I started doing jiu-jitsu and training at a local gym near me. And I developed this, like, small rash on my leg, and it went from my leg to my other leg to my arms to all of my body, and it ended up being like a viral infection that I guess a lot of kids get, and I just never got because I wasn't around people that have it or something, and it kind of looked like chicken pox. So I was panicking, so I went to the dermatologist, and she was like, nope, you're fine, don't worry about it. She's like, when did you see symptoms? And I was like, you know, 3 weeks ago, because it took me a while to get in. And then she's like, okay, 3 weeks ago, so you have 5 more weeks, you should be done in 5 weeks. And sure enough, in 5 weeks, it just all cleared up the same day. So this week, I'm getting kind of the same rash developing. So I was taking a shower, and I looked at my chest and my abdomen area, and I'm like, wait, why is that like red? And I thought it was just because the shower's hot. So I'm sitting there going, oh shit, I have some rash, whatever. So I looked up the pictures that I had previously, and it looks the same exact as the stuff I already had. And then I just went into full panic mode because people have mentioned COVID plus rashes, right? They're like, rashes are a symptom of COVID. And obviously a rash can mean a million different things. It's very vague, right? This is a very specific rash that I've had before, which is very different from something that I've newly developed, right? And I'm just like in full panic mode, right? So what I did was sat back and just said, what can I do? So one, if I have COVID or a rash or whatever, I can't do anything about it because the rash will just go away on its own like it did previously. And if I have COVID, then, I mean, other than drinking fluids and monitoring my oxygen levels and temperature, I can't really do much. I just got to stay at home and quarantine. So there's not much I can personally do, but then I figure, okay, let me email my dermatologist and ask her the name of what I had a few years ago, right? So I sent her an email. This is all last night. So I sent her an email, and I said, you know, because it's the weekend, she's not working on the weekend, and just said, hey, you know, this is so-and-so, this is what I'm experiencing, I can send you pictures, let me know, I can do teledoc, I can come in, let me know, I just want to make sure that this isn't something else, right? Because I don't know shit about rashes. I'm not a professional. She's a professional. So I'm trying to seek her help. So now I'm waiting on her response and on, you know, my monitoring of any other potential symptoms.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you did what you can to manage that anxiety, right? You took steps that you know you could do, and it's sort of out of your hand now. But You said that you looked at pictures, and did the pictures of the old rash you had look exactly the same as this new rash you've developed?
Yeah, the only difference was like spots on like different areas, but it looks the same texture. It looks pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least for me, if I saw something that I've seen before, you know, it would at least calm me down a little bit to know that, hey, this is something that I've had in the past and I've been, you know, I've been able to get over, you know, it's gotten better. Whereas, like you said, if it was a new kind of rash that you haven't seen, it might get me a little bit more worried. But did you look up maybe what kind of rashes develop from coronavirus?
I did, and one of the ones that I think is the name of what I have was related to some article that I saw, but I only saw one reference of it. So obviously for a lot of people, when they develop like a rash, right, they might call it something based on pictures that they see online, and it has to be like an actual diagnosis of it, right? You have to either get a blood test or a biopsy.
Right.
So last time I had this, I was at the tail end of it because it just took me a while to get the appointment. And, you know, my dermatologist had said, okay, it's you know, it's not going to kill you. It's basically benign. It just pops up. And she had told me, though, you probably won't ever get it again, because usually you get it once and that's it, like chickenpox kind of. So the fact that it came up again was more worrisome.
Right.
I did research the name that I think it is, from what I remember. And there was some article recently saying that they tracked people who had previously gotten it, and within a 4-year time span, some of them had gotten it again, like 20% had gotten a second like outbreak of it. So they thought that it's not as one and done as they previously thought, because most people probably don't report it because they don't really notice it. Like, it's hard to notice. I notice it because, I mean, it's more noticeable now because, you know, it's on my arms and my chest, right? But in terms of like jiu-jitsu, I'm very aware of what's going on with my skin because I've had a staph infection, and I've had other, obviously I had this thing before, which I think is the same thing. So for me, I'm always very in tune with like, how's my skin looking? How can I treat my skin better? You know, what can I be doing to minimize any type of spread of disease, and also, you know, maximize my looks, my beautiful face.
No, I mean, again, and it sounds like you've handled it very well. How was this experience with the rash versus your last one? Your mental health wise, were you more worried last time or less worried? And how did you what improvements did you see in the way that you handled the situation?
Last time I was more worried because I initially thought it was ringworm, which is, you know, a pretty contagious skin infection. And I obviously didn't want to pass it to my training partners, so it meant I couldn't train. So last time I had this, I didn't train for like 2.5 months until it completely went away, and then I got my okay from my dermatologist.
Oh, wow.
So that sucked, not being able to do that part of exercise, right? Like, oh, I can only go to the gym now, which I was at my home gym. So I wasn't like spreading it, because I have no idea if things are contagious, right? Because I don't know where I got it. Obviously, it doesn't make sense. Like, I just developed out of nowhere. I had to get it from somebody else who had it. So it has to be spreadable in one way or another. And I'm assuming jiu-jitsu, when you're in people's faces and grabbing them very tightly and stuff, it might spread that way, right?
And sweating on each other and everything.
Yeah. So this time around, I was like, hey, it looks like what you had. I dug up some old iCloud photos. And I'm like, cool. Okay, you know, it'll be over in, you know, anywhere from 3 to 8 weeks. Not a big deal. But this time, there was more panic because I was like, wait a minute, I've heard about rashes and COVID. And then, you know, found some article where they're like loosely referring to this potential as a rash or whatever. And I'm looking at it going, it doesn't look exactly like mine, but who knows, you know. And then that's where I saw like a much higher spike in anxiety. And that's when I had to manage it a lot more aggressively, because initially I'm like, cool, I just have this thing. I've had it before. It's not a big deal. It doesn't itch or anything. It just looks annoying.
Right. No, that makes sense. And I mean, it sounds like you've done a good job. And it goes back to, you know, you've used a lot of the methods that we talked about previously of, you know, verifying your sources and finding good sources and, you know, doing your research, maybe taking some meds.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. So this was just a little bit of an insight into how we dealt with some situations this week. Mine is very real and very still on my mind, but, you know, overall, I think I'm handling it well enough. I mean, for me, I'll probably go get a COVID test and an antibody test anyways, just to rule out anything weird, any weird interactions, you know, just get more peace of mind. But yeah, so this is just, you know, little bonus episode for everybody, and hopefully it helps you.
Enjoy this.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully it helps somebody at home think of steps they can do if they're in the middle of it. Right, like these are very real events that we just described that happen. This, you know, it's not from a textbook or anything. This is our, you know, raw interpretation of it.
Yeah, very, very real and very recent. So, you know, as you can see, we talk about all this stuff, but, you know, we still have anxiety in our daily lives, and we just use everything all the methods and everything we've talked about to help us reduce and manage that anxiety. And we're hoping that it'll, you know, do the same for you, and you guys can use all these tools yourselves as well.
Yep. So once again, you know, we hope everybody stays safe, and we'll see you next time.